This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Oh, wallahi, it's been a transformational experience. I don't know what to say. I feel like I'm introducing a UFC fighter. I'm like, where are you getting 500 pounds or 300 pounds? We'll let that information out. But inshallah ta'ala. Without any further ado, please help us welcome Brother Muhammad Hijab, a person who needs no introduction. Allahu
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sometimes I wonder when I look at the circus of animals, that how such a big elephant can be subdued. Sometimes I look at these animals, not just elephants, but lions maybe, and other wild animals in the circus, in zoos, and how could they be subdued? You see, I've done a little bit of research and I found that what they do with the elephant is that they take the elephant when it's a small elephant and they tie it up, they punish the elephant, they tie the elephant up to a pole and the elephant can't move out of its place. And so the elephant thinks, because of that, that it's incapable. Even when the elephant grows and becomes many tons, very heavy and big animal, whenever the elephant sees the pole and sees the circus trainer, or whatever they call them, they are frightened and they cannot move out of that place. They have to just see the chains and the pole and they'll be subdued. Arnold Toynbee, he referred to the Muslim Ummah as a sleeping giant. And the reason why is because we have a rich and proper civilizational history. The thing is, the Muslim world today by population is about 1.8 billion people. We have capabilities the like of which we don't recognize ourselves. We are like the elephant that has grown and we see the chains. And for some reason, we think we can't break free from those chains. For some reason, even though we do have the capabilities, even though we can move out of place, even though there's no way the zookeeper or the circus keeper can keep us in that stationary position, we still feel the inferiority complex, the post-colonial trauma. We still feel as if the zookeeper can keep us in that place. But the truth is, and we all know this to be the case, we all know this to be the truth, is that we're capable of breaking free from the chains. The Muslim people are one of, if not the biggest and strongest force in the world today. And do you know who knows that more than we do? The Americans know that. Just read their reports. American academics know that. Look at Samuel P. Huntington, very famous book, Clash of Civilizations, where he says that civilization will clash on cultural lines and that the big enemy will be, he states, the Islamic civilization. There are seven civilizations in the world, he says. The big enemy is the Islamic civilization. There's going to be a massive clash. So what's the hidden message that Huntington and Bernard Lewis and all of these Orientalists of the modern age want to portray, want to give to their policymakers? The message is, keep the foot on this giant. That's the message. And you know what? I'll be honest with you guys. We were for too long in a somnambulant state. We were the sleeping giant. And we didn't even know that we were sleeping. But when the Israelis, or to be more specific, the Israeli defense, or so-called defense, we should just call them the apartheid state for now. When the apartheid state, the religiously or the ethnically supremacist state of Israel, decided to kill children for no reason, drop bombs instead of facing their supposed enemy face to face, they are destroying hospitals. They are killing young ones, children, babies, and they're justifying everything with post hoc rationalization. Everything is being justified. Not only that, but proponents here in the West are justifying it as well. On the right wing and in the center, even some elements of the left wing and other elements are not even saying a word. Haven't you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that the media machine, the propaganda machine, is more vehement than ever? Have you noticed that the people have now come together and showed collective apathy for the Palestinian people? The problem is, in so doing, in not caring for us, they have incentivized us to care for ourselves. In hating us, they've incentivized us to love each other. In fact, what I've also noticed is that by justifying what they're justifying, they are essentially waking up the sleeping giant of Islam. We needed something big to be woken from that slumber. We needed something big. We needed a proper slap to the face. And here we have it. The masks have dropped. Here you have it. The same people, proponents from the left and the right and the politicians and others in the West and the EU, Canada, Australia, US alliance, none of them, no politician has come out and said categorically, we condemn what's going on in terms of killing of civilians. Incredible. Shocking. Isn't that shocking? In one way, it's shocking, but in another way, it's not surprising. Because the West has never been morally consistent. As Monbois said, the West has only been strategically consistent. Why do we expect them to be moral? But now we will use this as an ample example. When they come and said, well, your prophet killed this, and you believed in that, and you did on this, and your religion is a religion of that. Say, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You have no moral high. Get off your moral high ground. There is no moral high ground. Stop pretending that you're compassionate. Stop pretending that you care about the death of civilian people. Stop pretending that you're gonna civilize us. Stop pretending that you're anti-terrorism. You're anti-unstrategic terrorism. That's what you are. Stop pretending you don't like domination. You love it. You love domination everywhere, whether it's geopolitics or in your own bedrooms where you do BDSM. And that is statistically proven. Yes, it is statistically proven. I can give you the sources. Secondary sources. I mean, those are primary sources. They pretend as if they are gonna civilize us. They're not going to civilize us. They're not fit to civilize us. They speak to us as if they're our judge. They're not our judge. They're not fit to be our judge. And in fact, the Quran tells us this. لَا يَرْقُبُ فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةٌ يُرْضُونَكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتَأْبَى قُلُوبُهُمْ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. That they don't care to uphold ties of kinship with you or contracts with you, treaties with you. You don't care about that. يُرْضُونَكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They want to just say kind words with their mouths. وَتَأْبَى قُلُوبُهُمْ. And their hearts dislike you. They're repellent of you. وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And most of them are evildoers. This is the reality of the state of the enemies of Islam and the Muslims. They pretend to care. They pretend. But they don't care. So now that we have diagnosed the issue, the all-important question is, what do we do next? And of course, we have to start, and it's not tokenistic, and it's not cliche, and it's not a tick box exercise. We have to start by saying, we the Muslim people believe that the greatest weapon of all is the supplication to Allah, is the dua to Allah, that Allah alleviates the suffering of the people of Palestine. Say ameen.
Ameen.
May Allah alleviate the suffering of the people of Palestine.
Ameen.
May Allah alleviate the suffering of the people of Palestine.
Ameen.
May Allah give them victory.
Ameen.
May Allah give them victory.
Ameen.
Is that how much you want it? May Allah give them victory.
Ameen.
And we mean that collectively and individually. We say this because wallahi, that is the key. But having said that, Allah tells us to prepare. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare for them what you can from strength. So how do we prepare here in the West? What's our response here in the West? Have you noticed? I have never seen this. In the last decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, where I've been following this conflict very closely, I have not seen that they are now associating the Palestinian flag itself with terrorism. Have you noticed this?
Yes.
Is this the case here in Canada as well?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. They're all singing from the same hymn sheet, isn't it? The UK, the US and Canada, the bastions of freedom of expression, the bastions of freedom of speech. They're telling us, you know that flag, which evidently they didn't know that the white man actually made that flag anyway, when they were partitioning and breaking up our countries. But actually the white man did it, but for that flag now, we consider it to be a terrorist symbol. If you go to protest, now you're supporting a proscribed terrorist organization. And you might have, and I'll ask you guys, because I want to know from you just as much as maybe you want to know some things from me, which is, have you felt, who of you have been vocal about the Palestinian issue? Put your hands up. Okay, many of you, actually the majority of you. Who have you have received some level of backlash from any organization? See, that's a chunk. That's almost half of the people who put up their hands. Can you see? Because it's not just a legal thing here. It's not just the state and the police, but it's also the institutions. They're trying to shut you up. They're trying to gag you. So what's the answer to that question? Obviously, we want to be as smart as possible. And where the risk doesn't need to be taken, don't take it. However, having said this, they're looking for our insecurities. Let me tell you what they're doing. They come together, maybe Trudeau and Sunak and Biden, I don't know, maybe they, and his, you know, carer or whatever he's got. Responsible adults, I don't know what because of his condition. And he's sitting there, and they're all maybe sitting down, drinking something, maybe eating some pancakes, some Canadian pancakes or some syrup. And they said, what are we going to do? He said, get Netanyahu on the phone. He said, get him on the phone. Okay, Netanyahu. Hello, Netanyahu. Bibi. And then he, because he's got such a grip on them, he says this, he's facetious. He says, it's not Bibi, it's Habibi. So anyway, what should we do? Say, look, you're going to have to quash, because now the PR is a big thing. They all know it's a big thing. Look, Israel has a tourist industry. They're trying to attract multinational corporations. They're trying to be a developed economy. Say, look, the biggest thing you have to mitigate from your side, this is the conversation. The biggest thing you have to mitigate from your side is you have to mitigate public reactions. So anyone who's involved in protesting or anything like that, at every level there must be some kind of suppression. Okay, so we're going to introduce anti-terror laws. We're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to threaten them and we're going to scare them. Why? Because they don't want to be called terrorists. Muslims don't want to be called terrorists. Muslims are scared to be called terrorists. Muslims are worried that the white man might tell them that they're a terrorist because they can't live a civil society, can't live a proper life if that's the case. So if they want to go down that direction, you endanger their life, you endanger their careers, you endanger everything, label them, stigmatize them, tell you that they're terrorists. You're a terrorist sympathizer. Like that little weasel, Ben Shapiro. He said, anyone who calls for a ceasefire is a terrorist sympathizer. He's something else which begins with the first three letters. But that man there who couldn't show up to the fight, and who, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but everywhere he goes, he's got so many security guards. When I saw your own Jordan Peterson, who now has shown his true colors, he came in, he sent a military man into the mosque to see what's going on before he can come in. The wimp. And in the last minute, he had a last minute replacement. He said, look, it's not just going to be me. It's going to be me and my friend versus you. I said, wait a minute, this is 2-on-1. No problem. Come on, let's do it. And even then, he was forced to the worst admissions. He said, maybe I don't want to be a rational actor. I said, the Trinity doesn't make sense. He said, maybe I don't want to be a rational actor. So maybe a feminist can say the same thing to you then. Say, it's this and that, maybe I don't want to be a rational actor. I can be whatever I want. A transgender can say the same thing to you. So he's a rationalist everywhere except with Islam. That shows you the power of Islam. Anyway, that fool there, who's getting $50 million a year, probably, by Daily Wire, and other people that they pay, that's a lot of money. Man, I don't know about you guys. I think that's a lot of money, mate. I mean, there are economies in the world. Actually, I don't think there are, but anyway. I was going to say, whose GDP is that? But it's not. There isn't. But anyway, the point is this. Is that those individuals there, they're coming together in unity. And they want to label us. It's terrorist sympathizer, this, that, whatever. Here's my response. Okay. Here's my response. And take this from me. I am a master manipulator. Just ask my wife. Okay. Who's also now, unfortunately, the same thing. And so it's become like the Cold War in the house. Because I told her some of my tricks. But just take it from me. If what they're doing is they're looking for your insecurities as the brown man, the Muslim, the other, then what are we going to do? We're going to look for their insecurities. And I can tell you from being in the West and living, and you agree with me, the number one thing I would say up there, maybe number two or three to pedophilia or something, but one of the worst things a white person does not want to be smeared with is what? Racism. Thank you very much. He's already, they're listening to me. And when I said racism, something happened. One of them started stuttering. The other one started producing diarrhea in the stomach. And the other one actually soiled himself. The point I'm making to you is racism. Now, how can you accuse Yeah, they're calling us terrorist sympathizers for calling for a ceasefire or for supporting Israel, Safullah, supporting Palestine. Okay, so let me play role reversal now. What is Israel according to international law? According to international law, in 1973, there was something called the Apartheid Convention. There was something called what? The Apartheid Convention. All right. One of the things which it said is that if there are laws which discriminate based on race, then that country fulfills the conditions of being an apartheid state. Now, in Israel, there are many laws which fulfill the condition of discrimination based on race. One of them, I'll just give you one example. There's many, but this is just one. It's something called the right of return law. That you have a right to come back to Israel if you're an ethnic Jew. If you convert to Islam or Christianity, by the way, that right is stripped, by the way. Now, this is something, there's no discussion about it. You can't say, well, like what they're doing with the hospital. Maybe it's a Hamas a missile, maybe this, maybe that. You're scrambling, you're squabbling, you're stuttering, you're moving, you're trying to justify post-hoc, anything. You're trying to gaslight us. You're trying to tell us we're not seeing what we're seeing. Fine, for the sake of argument. I'm telling you there's a law here in this country which you're supporting which says that you can discriminate on the basis of race. So what is it then? What do you become if you become a supporter of that country? Aha! What do you become if you don't allow criticism of such a country? You can argue you're a racist sympathizer. Or maybe you're a racist. Because we are planning, talking, condemning, discussing the anti-apartheid regime. The apartheid regime. We are trying to criticize the apartheid regime. You're getting on the way of that. You are the equivalent of the person who got on the way of Nelson Mandela. It's actually worse. I've been to South Africa. Yes, there are. No, but wallahi, it's worse. It is worse because in South Africa, there wasn't provinces where this kind of thing was falling. They weren't dropping missiles on them like that. They wasn't doing that. Yes, there was bad things happening, but it wasn't to this level. It's worse than South Africa was. But at the time, do you think people thought that South Africa was bad? Tony Blair, who was the then Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, right before the apartheid, not before the apartheid, in fact, because they finished in 94, but the English, I don't know who it was at the time, the British had alliances with South Africa. Many Western countries had alliances with South Africa because it fulfilled their policies. Remember we said the West is strategically consistent and not morally consistent. The point is this. Now we're going to fight fire with fire. So if they say to you such and such, say, I have reason to believe. I have reason to believe that you are racist. I have reason to believe. And obviously consult the defamation lawyers. And I will announce something. That since now, every tweet I put out brings 20,000 likes in 10 minutes or some madness like that. I will help you. How? We've put in place a designated service where you can send the following. I'm going to tweet it after this lecture. You're going to put the person who's harassing you. You're going to, if you can get a picture of them. Because you know why? They're doing it to you. Do you know why they're doing it to you? Because they think that's going to destroy. You're thinking, they know what you're thinking. I want to get a job. I want to live a normal life. I don't want to do something that's going to impact that. But do you know what we're going to do? We're going to make them think the same thing. Well, the white man wants a job. He wants to have a life. He wants this and that. It's not just a white man. I'm talking about the liberal, this, that, the right wing, the centrist, whoever it is, who's not sympathetic with us. Effectively, that's who I'm talking about. That person, okay, if you're not sympathetic with us, you're going to try and gag us, you're going to try and suppress us, you're going to try and harass us, we're going to name, and we're going to shame, and we're going to label, and we're going to stigmatize, and that's our protest. That's our resistance. How about that? So you've got to fight fire with fire. And let me tell you something. For a long time, the institute that I work with, we formulate arguments for a living. That's what we do. We formulate arguments for the veracity of Islam, for this, for that. We do that for a living. And I've noticed one thing. After all of that time in the institute, formulating all these arguments, the arguments are not the most powerful way to convince people. The attitude is more important than arguments. If they see in you, if they sniff from you fear, hesitation, worry, they will take advantage of you. We were just talking today. Here in Canada, you have bears. What's this? Keep talking about animals, bears, lions. You do have bears. When I first came to Canada in 2019, I went up to a place where there was bears. I can't even remember the place where it's called. And the guy told me, look, there's three kinds of bears. I said, why are you telling me this information? He said, just hold on for a second, my friend. Yeah? I said, what are they? He goes, grizzly bear. There's the blue bear. And I said, whatever. Okay. He goes, we're going into the forest now. And he said that if you see a grizzly bear, you're finished. You've got no chance. I said, are you sure about that, my friend? He said, yes. He said, but there's this kind of bear. I think it's a blue bear. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, you all know it. There's one, and I thought the guy was joking. I actually thought the guy was joking. He said, look, if you see a black bear and it tries to attack you, give it all you've got. He said, shout, scream, punch. Don't show him fear. Have you ever been given this advice, by the way? Okay. Huh? Oh, don't say that, brother. That's racist. Anyway, so if it's a black bear, I know what you're saying, brother, of course. You're talking about the bear, not the people. It sounds like something, you know, one of the white apartheid guys from South Africa was saying. If it's black, fight back.
If it's brown, lay down.
Is that what they say?
There's three of them. If it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lay down. And if it's white, good night.
Well, I'll tell you what, whatever the situation, right? Most of us are black and brown. The point is this, is that you've got to deal with them, the enemies of Islam. I'll say them, by the way. I'm talking about the people who are harassing us. I'm not talking about all the non-Muslims, just to be clear. Of course we're not talking about those. We're talking about the enemies of Islam and Muslims. The people who are harassing us about Palestinian activism. Let me be clear about that. Are we clear about that?
Yes.
Yes, we're clear about that. If we see those people trying to harass us, deal with them like you would deal with a brown bear. Sorry. Don't do that. With a black bear. No, honestly, because the black bear, if he sees you're on it, you know, seriously, if he sees you're on it, he will respect you. For the most part, that's how it is. I still live in a place in London where it's rough. And I had a surgery the other day, I was feeling a bit vulnerable. And I saw some guys, and I started doing this. No word of a lie, I went to South Africa. I went to a certain area in Durban. They said, listen, this area, they're gonna do something to you. So I just walked around like that. So the amount of threat is commensurate with the amount of intimidation is commensurate with the amount of threat. The point is, if they are giving you that, you have to give it to them back. Attitude eats arguments for breakfast. It's all about the attitude you have. We are in a very special time in history. In the 1960s, in the West, we had the civil rights movement. We did. And there were different approaches to how to deal with the situation. The most successful approach was rebellion, was resistance. No doubt about it. And if it wasn't like that, if it wasn't resistance, and I'm not talking about physical violence, or I know the FBI here, what the Canadian alternative. What are they called? RCMB. BB. Whoever they are, man. I know they're here, so I'm listening to me. Whatever they are. They're the most kind officers in the world. I mean, Canadian people are very nice anyway. You know, I'm pretty sure if they saw me doing something criminal, say, hey, what are you doing there, you know? Very kind people from one perspective. But from another perspective, trying to harass us. That's the truth. So what I'm saying is, if you sense that you've got, because this is the thing, it's not about the Palestine conflict, although that's very important. It's about you and me building character. It's about what we're ready to accept and agree to. Al-Mutanabbi said, great Arabic poet, he said, "Man yahin, yashul al-hawan wa alayh, ma li jurhin bi mayyitin ilamu." He said, the one who is always being defeated, humiliated, it becomes easier to be humiliated again. Just like, and he says the following, a corpse, a dead person, you know, a dead person. When you try, obviously, when you translate poetry, look how horrible it is. I mean, but it's, you get a dead person and you're stabbing up a dead person. So the dead person can't feel anything. The point is if humiliation becomes commonplace to you, you will be numbed to humiliation. Humiliation will be easy for you. They'll tell you, don't do it today, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Even though it's legal, fully illegal. And you'll be scared and you'll be this and that. And if that's your personality, then you're just like a dead man walking. You're better under the ground than you are over the ground. What kind of life is that anyway? Because every child, every woman, every man that's dying in Qita'a Gaza, in Gaza, in that area, although their bodies are dead, their spirit is the most alive of all. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عَنْدِ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. That they are being provided for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have more dignity than we can ever dream of having. But in commemoration, in respect to that dignity, we can't. If a woman, a child, a man is going out and putting themselves in harm's way, protesting in the West Bank, in Gaza, in all these places, being killed, being sniped, being bombed, being harmed. If they are putting themselves in that situation and they don't mind to do so, and in fact, it actually makes them even more brazen, flagrant, then how could it be that we in the West will be scared, will be whipped into submission, will be subdued, will be subjugated, will be subjugated by the dominant population? I don't want to pontificate in a sesquipedalian way. What I will say here is that we have a moral duty. There's no doubt about it. We have moral duty, and we are living in history. And our great-grandchildren will ask us, they will ask us, what did you do in 2023? What did you do when you had the capability to go online, to make as much noise through this thing called the internet, where for all of humankind, for the majority of the conflict of Israel and Palestine, such a thing didn't exist? We can make a change. We will make a change because we are the sleeping giant. We are the sleeping giant and we're starting to wake up. But for us to wake up in an efficient and proper manner, we have to have no fear. We have to not care too much about the consequences. Just do it. Whether it's activism, whether it's protesting, whether it's going online, whether it's blogging, whether it's making an article, making a website, the public relations angle is the strongest thing that we can hold on to. And by the way, that's an ocean. That's not a cesspool. Public relations and the internet is an ocean. What we can do collectively in the West with the English language, affecting discourse directly. Did you not see when I went on Piers Morgan's show and all the comments and millions of people, and another person came on afterwards whose name was Bassem Youssef, and together it accumulated a whopping 22 to 25 million views, which is about almost the population of the entire country of Canada. 39 million or something, right? 40 million. Tell me if that's not going to change the narrative. Of course it's going to change the narrative. The media representatives are already on the back foot. They're changing their tone. And we can do it. And we will do it. And there have been examples in the past where the pressure has mounted on these people and it has led them to ceasefires. The PR thing is a big thing for them. They have a country they want to run. I'm telling you, put the pressure on them. With that, I will conclude.